This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Very excited for this episode, as always. Just the two of us today.
Yes, well, that's generally what happens on a Monday.
We do interviews. Just two of us. I don't know. Well, just thought I'd set the scene.
Thank you for setting the scene. Well, I'll set the context. Today, we're discussing, we know ESG is an important thematic that is not going anywhere, that's for sure.
True. Unless you have your way.
No. And, you know, for a lot of the members of the Equity Mates community, it's an important part of their investing journey. So, we're going to do our best to continue to discuss it where we can. And in today's episode, we're going to be looking at three stocks that are surprisingly unethical. On surface level, they may appear, or you would be surprised if they fall in the unethical basket.
Yeah, the reason that we're doing this episode is we recently did that Woolies demerger episode, and I think a lot of people who aren't too familiar with Woolworths as a business were surprised that this supermarket retailer that paints itself green and calls itself the fresh food people has, 2,000 poker machines sitting in its back pocket that it doesn't really talk about, but is a big part of...
Well, it definitely talks about them.
Well, they don't really like to talk about them.
No, that's why they're getting rid of them.
Yeah. And it just shows that, like, the image that a company presents, or the main business that a company does, is you need to go deeper than that if you want to really find out if a company is ethical and meets all your ethical screens. And so we set out to try and find three companies that were similar to Woolworths that maybe had an unethical surprise lurking in the corner. You know, one thing that we often talk about is that you really, if you're going to buy an ethical ETF or an ethical fund, you really have to look at what they're holding.
Yeah.
There are three major ethical ETFs that invest in international stocks in Australia. One from BetaShares, one from Vanguard, one from VanEck. One of them holds all three of these surprisingly unethical stocks.
Can't wait.
And a number of other surprisingly unethical stocks.
Can't wait.
So
I bet I know which one it is before we even get to it.
Well, let's not reveal now. But
I don't know.
You'll have your chance to guess.
I reckon I know which one it is.
Well,
let's go.
Yeah, let's go. So how this episode is going to work? Let's talk about these three companies, what they do, and then I'm going to ask you to guess how they're unethical, what the unethical surprise is.
Sure.
Or we can just talk about it if you don't want to guess.
Well, I mean, yeah, let's see how it pans out.
Okay. And then let's talk about these three ETFs, because it's a really good example of how you have to look below the surface. So let's start. First company that is surprisingly unethical, Bayer. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Massive pharmaceutical company.
Massive pharmaceutical company, life sciences company, one of the largest pharmaceuticals companies in the world, based in Germany, has three key business areas, pharmaceutical segment. I think they either invented aspirin or they commercialized aspirin. Like, that's one of their big brands, but they do a whole bunch of stuff. Cardiology, therapeutics in areas of oncology, hematology, ophthalmology, blah, blah, blah. Consumer health segment, a lot of over-the-counter medications, pharmaceutical products, skincare, nutritional supplements, all that stuff. Crop science segment offers chemical and biological crop protection products, different seeds, all that stuff. Has a collaboration with a bunch of different companies to develop cancer drugs, new therapies, a whole bunch of stuff. So, pretty standard pharmaceutical and life sciences company so far. Nothing unethical at this point. I had a look at ticker, pulled out some of its numbers. Market cap $63 billion US, $50 billion US dollars in revenue. It actually lost $12.5 billion last year because of COVID, but normally it makes about $4.5 billion in profit a year. So, massive company. According to Simply Wall Street, it's trading 62% below their calculation of fair value, which is surprising for a company that big.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm not sure how that number came together, but a pretty stock standard pharmaceutical company. I mean, some people would say pharmaceutical companies per se are unethical. I don't know where you sit on that.
Yeah, so I'm surprised this is on the list, because I
do you think
put most pharmaceutical companies on,
really?
On the weighted more towards an unethical side than ethical. Yeah, weighted more. I'm not saying they all are and X, Y, and Z, but I feel like if I was to have to draw a line, they'd be slightly leaning towards...
Why is that?
I just feel like their corporate behavior and pursuit of profit is disgusting.
And we have just lost all potential pharmaceutical sponsors.
That's fine, because they're not
going to... Not that we have many anyway.
But don't you think
our quality of life...
Yeah, of course there's that side, and I'm not going to debate that, because there's no doubt.
Okay.
There's no doubt. But... I think it could be a hell of a lot better and more accessible if they approached it with less of a corporate lens and more of a we're doing this for society lens.
Yeah, okay.
Does that make sense? Look,
it does. I mean, I just think that these companies, I think every company is just a dumb unit of following incentives and trying to maximize profit within that context. And
yeah.
I think a lot of the criticisms of pharmaceutical companies at their core are really criticisms of the regulatory environment, intellectual property protections, how we incentivize these companies and how they direct their R&D budgets based on those incentives. But anyway,
yeah.
let's for the purposes of this discussion say that pharmaceutical companies aren't all unethical.
Yeah, sure. Before we do move on as well, you've mentioned ticker there. Let's just remind the EquityMates community on how we can get access to that.
Yeah, so ticker, if you're it's currently in beta, so you can't access it through the front door. But if you want to access it for free, ticker.com/EquityMates.
Yes, and it's T-I-K-R.
And we use ticker for all of the raw data. Every company around the world, well, at least every company I've ever needed to search is on there. Transcripts of calls with CEOs and analysts and stuff like that. Really good resource to get some raw data.
Yeah, amazing. All right.
So, Bayer, pharmaceutical company, life sciences. It has a little unethical surprise in there if you dig deep enough.
My feeling would be, and this is without looking at any notes, but I know my feeling would be that it would be related to the crop science part of the business.
You're correct.
Yeah, because I know that they did a dirty deal with Monsanto.
You're going to get it. Nice.
Monsanto.
Nice.
Monsanto?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Monsanto.
Monsanto, yeah.
Yeah.
Who are very unethical.
Very unethical. Yeah. So, yeah, this is the unethical surprise if you peel back the layers of the corporate structure. Monsanto, Bayer first bid for in 2016, closed the deal in 2018. Monsanto was a leader in genetically modified crops, and there's a whole bunch of issues about how they've aggressively protected their intellectual property around these GM crops and stopped farmers using organic seeds and a whole bunch of stuff. But there's a particularly unethical element to Monsanto, well, now Bayer at the moment, which is Monsanto's leading herbicide called Roundup.
Roundup, yeah, with the cancer stuff.
With the cancer stuff, yeah. They have been sued by a number of people because they alleged that Roundup caused cancer, and specifically glyphosate in the product.
Didn't a US school gardener or something, he got really sick from it and walked and managed to sue them for hundreds of millions?
Yeah, yeah. So that there was a couple of leading cases, that being one of them. There's now 125,000 cases.
Wow.
Yeah. But Bayer remains committed to Roundup as a home and garden product as well.
Yeah, because they're just denying it, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they can't really deny it so much because the courts have basically said it's a problem. Looking on ticker, I was reading the transcript of their latest call with analysts, and they said they were reviewing the use of glyphosate in home and garden products, but they're not walking away from it yet. They're not walking away from it for industrial agriculture. And it's just this little business. Well, it's actually not little business. It was like a $60 billion business. Yeah. Bayer's actually been, it's kind of been a terrible acquisition. They bought Monsanto for $60 billion. The Bayer's market cap is now $60 billion, and they've lost half their value over the last couple of years. But yeah, if you think of Bayer as a pharmaceutical company, makers of aspirin, also, would you know, makers of heroin? They commercialized heroin back in the day.
There you go.
Not the first to make it, but that's the first unethical to bring it to market.
Look what it's done.
You may not realize that beneath it all is Monsanto, this company that would go down in the pantheon of unethical companies.
Yeah, fair call.
So that's one. And let's put a pin in that because we will come back because Bayer is held in one of those three ethical ETFs.
Love it.
All right, before we talk about the next company, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, Bryce, second company. You might actually think this one's unethical straight off the bat. Nestle, ethical or unethical?
It's interesting you say that. I mean, I don't really know enough about it. I'm a Cadbury man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm a Cadbury man. And what's the New Zealand chocolate? Whittaker's?
Delicious. Wow. You're too fancy for my blood.
But I imagine this is to do with supply chain, I would assume.
You would assume. There are criticisms, but
cocoa.
No.
Okay.
As I was doing some, part of the reason I wanted to include Nestle is just I want to tell you how big it is.
Okay.
So get ready, strap yourself in. So it's the largest food company in the world measured by revenue and other metrics. It's been the largest since 2014. A Swiss company, still based in Switzerland. 29 of Nestlé's brands have sales of over 1 billion a year.
Jeez.
29, like, that's pretty impressive. They have over 8,000 brands, operate in 194 countries. But I want to give you a list of a lot of the brands they own, because it's just, it's pretty mind-blowing how big they are. So they offer baby food under Celiac, Gerber, and Natroness brands. Probably not relevant for us.
No.
Maybe.
No.
bottled water under Nestle Pure, Perrier, Poland Spring, Pellegrino. Pellegrino. I knew you'd get that.
Not drinking that.
Cereals under Fitness, Nesquik, Cheerios, Lion cereals brand, and there's a number of cereals under that Lion's brand. Chocolate and confectionery under Kit Kat, Nestle, La Atelier, Nestle Toll House, Milky Bar, Smarties, Quality Street, Aereo, Gario, a few others that I can't even pronounce. Coffee under Nescafe Nespresso, which are those pods that you love. Nescafe, a bunch more. Starbucks brand coffee is made by them. Like frozen foods under Maggi, Hot Pockets, Stoffler, Thorny, Jack's, Tombstone, a few others that I can't pronounce. Lean Cuisine, dairy under Carnatio, Coffee Mate, a few other brands that we don't have in Australia. Drinks under Milo, Nesquik, Nestea, a few others. The list keeps going on. Basically, name a food category. They have five brands at the very least
in that
category. Walk down a supermarket shelf, throw a dart, you'll probably hit a Nestle product.
Toilet paper.
Didn't see it, but I bet you they have it.
They got pet care.
They got pet care, Purina. Well, they got what?
It's pretty big. I feel like a lot of European brands, like, I think it's bigger in, it would be bigger in Europe than penetration here in Australia, I reckon.
Probably. Yeah. Big in America as well. Yeah. But like the takeaway from this is this company is everywhere. This company is huge. This company has made food that you will eat this year, this week, today, probably.
Well, you eat Maggi noodles every day for lunch.
You start the day with four scoops of Milo, no milk. and to give you some numbers, so I jumped on Ticker, had a look, $356 billion US dollar market cap, massive company, $84 billion in revenue a year, $12 billion in profit. According to Simply Wall Street, it's trading 23% below its estimate of fair value. Again.
Jeez, all right.
Yeah.
Probably because of COVID, I reckon. Oh, that doesn't make any sense, actually.
No, actually, Nestle did really well during COVID.
All the chocky bars.
Their profit stayed very stable. Yeah. All the chocky bars. But Nestle, Nestle has a number of controversies, but amongst it all, there was one very unethical surprise that I found.
Yeah, well, as I said, my thinking leans towards supply chain somewhere within these businesses. But I feel like that's too obvious. Pet care, maybe it's in how they're animal cruelty is a guess. Ice cream, no. Healthcare. I don't know. Those are my two guesses. If I was to have to lock them in a million-dollar question, I'd
I'd have to go
50-50.
Luckily, $1 million isn't on the line.
Well, I'd be going,
my
two guesses.
But look, you're both right. There are animal welfare, animal testing critiques. There's supply chain critiques. There's water use and resource use critiques. All of which probably think would push it out of an ethical screen. But a reminder, it is in one of these ethical ETFs.
No surprises.
But that's not the unethical surprise that I found. Nestle is the target of the world's longest consumer boycott.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Since 1988, there's been a massive global consumer boycott against Nestle.
It's not working.
That is a fair point.
If it's the biggest food company in the world.
Yeah, that is fair. I mean, it is about Nestle generally. There's like all these posters that you see. I've never seen one in Australia, but I would assume in Europe and where some of these countries where this stuff happened, which we'll get to in a second, there's like a whole like Nestle free zone, like posters that go up in shop windows and stuff like that.
What for? Why? Why Nestle?
So the boycott is led by an organization called Baby Milk Action. And the organization says that Nestle contributes to the unnecessary death and suffering of infants around the world by aggressively marketing baby food in breach of international marketing standards. And the organization says that Nestle's own internal report found 107 instances of non-compliance with its baby milk marketing policies in 2019.
But is there anything wrong with the product?
The critique is that Nestle aggressively market infant formula to especially poorer countries. And they do things like they give free samples of infant formula to mothers in the hospital. And then if you start your baby on infant formula, I think it affects how you lactate in those early days. And then you're basically hooked on the infant formula, and then you've got to charge, and then Nestle charge. And there's a whole bunch of stuff around that. Now, obviously, we do not have enough information on this to make definitive statements, but they're the allegations and the reports. Target of the world's longest consumer boycott for what, 23 years?
Yeah, okay. So I get it. How many people in this boycott action?
Didn't count.
Yeah, like is it one person?
No. It's like legit. Like the UN have done reports on it and stuff. Like it's the US Congress has done reports on it. Like it's a legit boycott.
And then what? They can't bring any action against Nestle.
Too big.
No. If they're breaching rules, like there's action that can be brought. But has any action been brought against them? Or is it just a slap on the wrist? What you're doing is technically within the rules, but it's a bit dirty. Is that what we're looking at here?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
But isn't that what we do with most of these ethical screens? Like, sure, mining coal is within the rules.
Yeah. No,
it's a bit dirty.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's not unethical.
Okay.
I'm trying to get my head around so there's actually nothing wrong with the product. It's not like they're giving out shitty.
Correct. It's not like they've got arsenic in their infant formula. They do not have that. Like, let's be very clear. It's just the way that they push it.
They're quite aggressive. Okay, wouldn't have picked that, but
hey, that's why it's an unethical surprise.
Yeah.
This last one, again, going on the theme of you probably already think it's unethical, but I struggled to find companies that were really ethical that had a bad unethical surprise.
Mm-hmm.
JP Morgan.
Okay.
Ethical or unethical?
Well, given the corporate cash cow that I am.
given how much we want Jamie Dimon to do an interview on Equity Mates.
Ethical or unethical? I haven't actually considered JB or any of those big banks. But I mean, if I'm putting pharmaceuticals in there, I'd probably be leaning this one more on the unethical side as
okay.
well.
Okay. Yeah. So for people who are unfamiliar with JP Morgan, quick set of facts. American multinational investment bank financial services holding company headquartered in New York. It would either be the largest or the second largest investment bank in the world. Number of business segments: consumer and community banking, corporate and investment banking, commercial banking, asset and wealth management. Had a look on ticker. The numbers actually surprised me. Market cap of $500 billion, $500 billion. I didn't realize it was that big.
Massive, isn't it? The biggest investment bank in the world?
Yeah. Biggest or second biggest, I think. I don't know how big Goldman is.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
It's big.
It's big. Yeah. It's not small.
It's done pretty well.
Revenue of $100 billion, profit of $29 billion. You've got to love those margins. Simply Wall Street, again, trading 10% below its estimate of fair value. I think the analysts at Simply Wall Street have very generous estimates of fair value.
Well, I don't think they use analysts, don't they? Just pull it all in.
Maybe they're using current interest rates as the discount rate. Discounted cash flow.
Yeah, well, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, but
we'll have to ask them.
Yeah, we will. And JP Morgan seems to be getting serious about climate change.
Yes, that's good.
The US, so recent announcement, the US company will source at least 70% of its own power needs from on-site renewables and off-site long-term renewable energy contracts by 2025, and also ensure that all of its company-owned vehicles are electric by the same date. Talking a lot about funding more renewables, reducing carbon intensity.
Smoke screens.
Maybe. So that's the company. It's an investment bank which has an unethical veneer to it, but it hasn't been criticized in the same way that Goldman has for, you know, some of the things that it's done. And ethical, or what do you think the ethical, unethical surprise is?
The easy route, I think, would be to say, look under the hood at what they're investing in or who they're supporting.
Yeah.
So that would probably be my first consideration if it was a million-dollar question. My second would then go to like corporate culture and corporate governance. So like how they treat their employees. Maybe it's like the number one company in the world with the worst employee rating or something along those lines. So that's where I go. Or like worst, you know, no females on the board or something along those lines. Am I right?
Well, you've given a lot of guesses there.
They're two large chunks, two large chunk guesses.
You're right. Your first guess, your first...
which was under the hood, what they're investing in and who they're supporting.
Yeah. So, and you nailed it with the whole smoke screen around the carbon stuff.
Yeah, I feel like that's just a...
So, JP Morgan is the world's largest funder of fossil fuels, bar none. $317 billion over the past 5 years into coal, oil, and gas.
Wow.
Now, that's a big number, biggest number in the world. You won't find a bigger number anywhere. but it's hard to put that in into context, like $317 billion in the context of how much is being invested.
What does it get you, yeah.
So, I jumped onto Ticker and looked at ExxonMobil and Saudi Aramco. To give you some context in terms of how much they're investing, to put it in comparison. So, JP Morgan, $317 billion over the past 5 years into coal, oil, and gas, a lot of that into new projects, exploration. Exxon, over the past 5 years, $7 billion in exploration and drilling. Over the past 5 years combined, $7 billion into exploring for new like oil and gas reserves and stuff like that, and actually drilling. Fraction of what JP did.
Mm.
Saudi Aramco, biggest oil company in the world, $1.8 trillion market cap. Even a company that large, that reliant on oil, over the past 5 years, its exploration, drilling, and R&D costs all combined, $15.5 billion.
Wow.
So just the amount of money that these oil and gas companies are investing in finding new reserves and drilling those new reserves pales in comparison to these big investment banks, JP Morgan leading them. In 2020 alone, JP Morgan put $51 billion into fossil fuel financing. Compare that to, you know, the market cap of some of these big companies.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I wonder if it'll come back to bite them in years to come. Like, what's their expected turnaround on these investments, I wonder?
I'm sure they de-risk these deals.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, they're obviously clearly backing. I wonder if they've gone the other way as well and they've obviously put money into renewables, I would imagine.
Yeah,
but a fraction. Probably not to the scale of that, yeah.
But, like that, people might be like, saying, well, so what? That, of course, these big banks fund fossil fuel projects. We know that's the problem. But the point is that these three companies, Nestle, JP Morgan, and Bayer, are all in one of these.
Oh, it's time for a grilling. It's time for a grilling.
But before we reveal which one, we're going to take a quick ad break to hear from our sponsors.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, Bryce, back from the ad break into the big reveal. So we've spoken about three companies and how if you look under the hood, you might find areas of their business, things that they're investing in, things that are happening around their business that may fall afoul of your ethical screen. So you really have to do the work and understand all aspects of a business. We started this conversation by saying there are three global shares ETFs with an ethical screen. That was a confusing way of saying that. There are three ethical ETFs that invest in global shares. There are a number
of heaps more than three.
Sorry, no, listed in Australia, there's only three. There's a number that invest in Australian shares. There's some that invest in Australian, that invest in like fixed income and stuff like that. Sorry. The other clarification is large caps.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there are some like small cap active ETFs and stuff like that. Now, Bryce is fact checking me, so we might edit out a bit of time, but he's going to fact check me and he'll come back and agree with me.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
So the three ethical ETFs that are focused on large cap international shares.
Mm-hmm.
BetaShares Global Sustainability Leaders, ASX ticker ETHI.
Mm-hmm.
Vanguard Ethically Conscious International Shares, ASX ticker VESG. VanEck Vectors MSCI International Sustainable Equities, ASX ticker ESGI.
Mm-hmm.
One of those funds have all three of these companies.
Okay.
Which do you think it is?
So I know that... No, this is going to sound funny, but my answer to this is purely based on the names here, and the vaguest name is the Vanguard Ethically Conscious International Shares ETF.
Vega.
I think VanEck would have put more thought into what goes into their ETF.
Right.
And I know that they're generally more concentrated. I could be very wrong, but I know that they're generally more concentrated. Equally, I'm pretty sure BetaShares, given that they've also just booted Tesla, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but have probably done a bit more research. Ethically Conscious International Shares from Vanguard, I think, gives them the license to include as many companies as possible.
Well, you've absolutely nailed it.
Nice. Really, Vanguard?
Yeah. So, to give you some details, BetaShares and VanEck have between 200 and 300 companies in those ETFs. Vanguard have about 1,600.
1,600 companies in that ETF.
Yeah.
See, what the hell? Like that...
I've got the full holdings here.
That's exactly my point. It's just that they've tried to create a... Yeah, I've tried to create an ETF that...
Well, they've screened about 400 companies out of the investable universe, apparently. I was looking on their website. It was over 2,000 companies in the index. They screened out about 400.
No tobacco, no booze. Like, that's probably...
Yeah, maybe no oil companies directly. Oil, but this is where I think it becomes really important. It's like, you don't have oil companies, but you've got JP Morgan.
Yeah.
I went a bit deeper, scrolled down the list, compared the three. I'm going to throw out a couple more companies. You tell me if you think they should sit in or out of an ethical ETF, and I'll tell you which ones do and don't.
Okay.
Coca-Cola.
Out.
BetaShares has it out. Vanguard has it in. VanEck has it out.
Yeah, water. Isn't it one of the biggest consumers of water in the world?
Yeah, and also I guess there's a question around like selling sugary drinks to kids and obesity and all that stuff.
Vanguard has Coke in. Okay.
Boeing.
In.
Yeah, I don't actually have that much problem with Boeing. Obviously, they have had a difficult recent record.
Yeah.
None of them have Boeing in the...
Wow.
Yeah.
Weapons? Like what?
Oh, you know what? You've absolutely nailed it. It's because we're thinking of their civilian...
But they're in war.
Yeah, but they also create weapons for the US military.
Mm.
That is a very good point. American Express.
In.
Credit cards. In.
Yeah.
BetaShares has it in. Vanguard has it in. VanEck does not have it in.
Nice.
Electronic Arts, the
EA Sports,
one of the most hated companies in the world, famous for the loot box. For those gamers out there,
EA, it's in the game. Is
Yes,
it's got to be in.
It's got to be in. It is not in BetaShares. Oh, it's in the other two.
Why, I wonder?
The loot boxes are talked about as equivalent to gambling in some senses.
I don't know what the loot box
is. Yeah, I don't really know either, but I was reading about that. I also think they don't treat... this is all from what I've read, but their relationships with some of the smaller game developers that they contract to apparently is a little bit fraught at times.
Interesting.
Uber and Lyft, let's do them together.
Out.
Out. Why out?
Treatment of contractors or drivers.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Out of BetaShares, out of VanEck.
Vanguard.
This shouldn't, like, we don't want this to be we're just...
No, we're not ripping on Vanguard.
We are ripping on Vanguard, well, no, but it's because Vanguard
better. Yeah, well, I think the key message here, as always when we talk about ESG, is that it means different things to different people. And as this thematic grows and integrates into everyone's investing journey, I think we're going to see more and more sort of concentration as the years go on. But for now, it's not surprising that there's such divergence between product and you know, everyone's doing different things and smoke screens everywhere at this stage. So
Now
this is purely just to continue to highlight the challenge that everyone faces when it comes to ethical investing and the difficulties in actually trying to look under the hood. So
I think this is a really good segue into what is perhaps the most controversial company that that you wanted to talk about, which is Tesla.
Yes. I don't think it's the most controversial, but this is hot off the press. We're recording this on the 10th of June, and only yesterday it was announced that BetaShares, one of the largest providers of ETFs here in Australia, have removed Tesla from their sustainability ETF, citing that the car maker has failed to address labor and environmental concerns. Now, we know we spoke to Adam Verwey from Future Super last year, and I think they booted Tesla as well, or didn't even have them in for very similar reasons around labor and the environment. Quite ironic, given that Elon has been tweeting about the environmental impacts of mining Bitcoin.
Well, quite ironic that Tesla has moved the Overton window in terms of how we make cars, how we think about cars.
Yeah,
the second order effects of what Tesla has done will be significant improvement.
Yeah, yeah. So look, It's been dumped from their ETHI, as we've spoken about. ETHI is the ticker, and I think it's just testament that these companies or these ETF providers do keep their finger on the pulse. But if you're invested in that ETF because of Tesla, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if you're investing in any ETF because of one individual company, examine your thesis.
Yeah. But a few examples, sorry, Ren, just to close that out, you know, around their labor, a quick example is that the most recent is during COVID last year when everyone was at home. Tesla reopened their factory in California despite local authorities warning against it and forced quite a large contingent of their labor force back in, and subsequently a lot of them got COVID. So that's just one example, I guess, of many which have led to the decision to remove them.
Now, given we have these ETF holdings here, so obviously Tesla no longer in BetaShares, ETHI one. What do you reckon about the other two?
Well, I'd have to say it's in Vanguard.
Yeah, it's in Vanguard.
And yes, in VanEck.
Yeah, I would have thought yes, but no.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, okay. We've said this so many times, but you just got to look under the hood of these products. Same with like the active ETFs that you can get. There are like smaller cap ethical active ETFs, look at what they hold.
Not only look under the hood, but then it's fair to say that, and it's easy if you're looking under the hood at like what's in the ASX 200. The challenge with these is looking under the hood and then actually deciding whether or not those companies should be under the hood. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
And then because you got to then look under the hood of each of the companies in there. There's a lot of hood looking.
There is a lot of hoods that you got to pop. And it shouldn't be a matter of scaring you off ethical investing if that's what you want to do from a moral perspective, or like that's how you want to be an investor, you want to invest ethically. My biggest suggestion is if you don't want to pop all those hoods and look under them, find an ethical manager that you've heard interviewed, maybe on Equity Mates, maybe somewhere else, or that you reach out to and you speak to or you email with, that you're comfortable with, that they can, you trust them to look under the hood.
Yes.
Because someone's got to be looking under the hood.
Someone's.
Otherwise, hoods can get very dirty.
Nice one, Ren. Well, that there's three stocks that might surprise you that are unethical, but at the end of the day, we've made it pretty clear that to some they are, to some they aren't. So the challenge still remains to find an ease at which you can invest ethically. But we'll continue to do our best over, well, the remainder of our time in Equity Mates to bring more information to help you make ESG investment decisions. But
would
before we-
Equity Mates pass an ethical screen? Vanguard Absolutely. Would definitely have Equity Mates in.
Absolutely. We do have Bitcoin on the balance sheet. So anyway, before we close out, Ren, we do have a lot of calls from the community to get Specky McGee back on. So we will be having him on very shortly. But another one of the little segments that we've been doing recently is Crypto Corner, just to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on in the world of crypto, which is brought to you by Bamboo, a micro investing app for digital assets as well as gold and silver. So if you want to dip your toe into the water for Bitcoin or Ethereum, gold or silver, head to getbamboo.io. Use the code EquityMates and they'll throw $10 of Bitcoin your way, or $10 to, I guess, put in gold, silver, Ethereum or Bitcoin. So getbamboo.io and use the code EquityMates. But Ren, Crypto Corner, a quick 2 minutes on something that has piqued our interest.
You would have thought that the fall in Bitcoin had tempered Bryce's love of this asset class, but it has not. Bryce is all about dollar cost averaging in, and you use Bamboo to do it. I use Bamboo to do it. Where do you think the home of Bitcoin is these days?
The home of Bitcoin?
The home of Bitcoin. The spiritual home.
Tesla.
No, like it's a place.
Oh, Russia.
No, Miami. So Miami is the Bitcoin mecca. The mayor there is going all in on Bitcoin. There was recently the Bitcoin 2021 conference in Miami. A lot of Bitcoin entrepreneurs are moving to Miami. Miami is the place to be if you want to retire, get a tan or talk crypto. And recently, as of a couple of days ago, the largest ever real estate purchase in cryptocurrency was done. Guess where?
Miami.
A $22.5 million Miami penthouse was sold just using crypto.
Bitcoin specifically?
Doesn't say.
Come rockets.
Maybe Dogecoin.
Well, there you go. The highest property around the world.
Yeah. Most expensive property.
Most expensive. Yeah. Well, there you go. $22.5 million exchanged in crypto. Nice. Well, that's our crypto corner for the week.
That is.
Thank you, Ren. brought to you by Bamboo. Well, that is the end of the show today. We make this show for you guys, the community here at Equity Mates. So visit equitymates.com/contact to send us a message. We are on socials as well. Hit us up there. We'll do our best to respond. Or Emily, our social media coordinator, will do her best to respond on our behalf if we can't get to all of them. One of the things that we would really appreciate that you could do for us that makes a big difference is to actually rate and review our episodes and our podcasts across the board. So head to iTunes if you have it and leave us a review. If it's anything less than 5 stars, we'd rather you take it up with us personally than leave a comment on iTunes.
Look, I'm pretty confident the Vanguard employees are going to be coming in and giving us some bad reviews. So we really need people to come and balance that out.
True. So we appreciate we appreciate all the comments that you do leave us. And, you know, the bigger the audience that we can grow, the better it is for you guys, the bigger this show can become.
The better guests we can get. The better guests we get.
Exactly. So really help us there if you can. But Ren, always good to chat stocks, specifically three that are that are surprisingly unethical. We'll get them up on socials, but we'll chat next week.
Don't make promises about... Oh, Emily's now, so we will get promises. Them up. Yeah, let's chat next week.
Nice.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.